Don McLean, American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
You knew Don McLean.
Yeah, know him well.
What drove him to write that song, The Day the Music Died? Was he a big fan, or how did that come about?
That's it. He was just a fan, you know.
Being a fan was the inspiration to write that mm-hmm. song.
And, you know, I tell this, a lot of people don't realize, but when those three boys got killed, Chuck Berry was in prison. Elvis Presley was in the army in Germany. Jerry Lee Lewis had got run out of the country. Little Richard had retired from rock and roll, was preaching. Who's left? There goes Buddy and the Big Bopper and Ritchie Valens. Bam, you know.
So they were all gone. There wasn't a star on the scene.
You know, and I hadn't thought about that. I got to see Don, ask him if he was thinking about that when he wrote that.
That it was bigger than just Buddy Holly, you mean? It
yeah.
was all of them were gone in the
yeah.
day the music died.
Yeah. There's nobody here doing rock and roll.
You were in New York. You didn't like New York, working there?
I was usually up there on business meetings, you know, when I was running record labels. I was up there a lot with Buddy. We worked out in New York. Then after Buddy died, we stayed up there, me and the Crickets. GAC said, well, we'll book you, but we waited around there about 6 weeks and there was no booking. So I said, I'm going back to Odessa. You guys stay up here, whatever. They couldn't get no bookings for us. He was the Crickets. There wasn't no Crickets singing. It was all Buddy Holly.
And then what did you do in Odessa?
Went back to that same club I was working. Moon was still there. Moon Mullica and I had been in there before. That tour, I'd go down there and play between tours. We stayed there about another year. And then
you built a studio there?
Later, about 5 years later, 6 years later.
Didn't you produce or record for Zager and Evans?
Yeah, they came in the late 60s. They had a duo. They played Holiday Inns. They'd put out songs. We'd put out 45 records for them, and they'd sell them to their jobs. But they come in one day and put out these songs, and they sing in the year 25. Next time they came back, I said, we need to record that thing. We did, you know.
Because you sensed it could be something.
I thought it was, you know. I thought, that's just so weird that might something happened with it because it's so different. We recorded that thing, and, you know, I pitched it to every label in Nashville and L.A. Everybody turned it down. But it broke out in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the distributor ordered 5,000. Of course, when he did that, RCA came along and said, we want to release that thing. It ended up being the biggest record of the year in 1969.
So you got in on that financial action, then, didn't you? I mean, you recorded it and promoted
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I should have, but I didn't. I got
a flat studio fee?
No, I had a partner out there that got the fee. He got the mine, and I got the shaft, as Jerry Reed would tell you. But, yeah, he's made a lot of money.
You worked with many stars. What one or two really had an impact on you?
Walter Brennan was one of my favorites. I always enjoyed being around him.
Walter Brennan's Old Rivers.
Yeah, you know, and Chill Wills. I loved old Chill Wills. I produced an album on him and Bob Wills. You know, I've really had the pleasure of producing a lot of good artists, and I played with a lot of them. Julie Andrews was great, and Andy Williams.
You did meet Elvis, though, didn't you?
I met him a couple times.
And you visited about music
mm-hmm.
back and forth. Did you meet him early on in his career?
I didn't meet him until the first time he played the Southern Club in the mid-50s, when it was him and Scotty and Bill. They had played a Grand Ole Opry show there at Auditorium in Lawton with Jeannie Shepherd and Hawkshaw Hawkins and Elvis Presley. Clyde Presley's a guy on the Southern Club, went out there in Harlem, gave him $100 to come down there and play for an hour after they got through the show. And I've talked to Scotty Moore about that. Scotty remembers that. Of course, we met him that night. That's before they really got to making the big bucks. Then I met him out in Beverly Hills after he got out of the Army.
You've talked earlier about Bob Wills having charisma. Elvis, just standing in a room, did he have charisma, or did
oh, yeah.
it happen when he was on stage?
He had it all the time. A lot of people were like that, you know. I think Buddy had a lot. Just when Buddy would show up in a room, he looked like somebody.
Let me just tick off some names here. George and Tammy Wynette.
Well, I worked a lot with them in the 70s, and they were great, great talents and great to work with.
Glenn Campbell?
Glenn, I worked tons with Glenn. We did hundreds of sessions in L.A.
Fun
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, he came back and sang on one album I produced with the Texas Playboys. He's still out there working. He's still
and,
great.
And now sad because he has Alzheimer's. And
yeah, it really is sad. Sure is.
Merle Haggard?
Merle, you know, he's just always there. He's great when he started. He's still great.
Ray Price?
Yeah, Ray's another stayer. You know, he's in his mid-80s, still singing great.
And all these are people that you played with.
Yeah, recorded with.
And recorded with. Jerry Lee Lewis?
Yeah.
Was Jerry. He a wild man all the time?
Well, he wasn't while I worked with him, what was it, a year ago in Clear Lake, and he was kind of sickly, but Still does good. He still played good and sang good.
In other music worlds, did you meet Frank Sinatra?
Sure did.
Do you have a story about how you met him?
Went to a studio where Bobby V was cutting in Studio B, and Sinatra was in Studio A, and his manager came in and said, y'all want to listen to Frank a little bit? Snuff Garrett and I and Bobby V walk in the control room, and he's in the big studio. He's got a bleacher set up with 150 people in it, and he's singing to them. Got the orchestra behind him, just like on a stage. He's doing an album. He's got a live audience, but they're quiet as a mouse. There's no applause or anything. It's just that he had people he liked that liked him. And that's the way he liked to record, because it felt like he was he was performing live.
I didn't know that. Yeah. It obviously boosted him.
I don't know how many sessions he did that way, but he certainly did that one. During that session, Hoagy Carmichael came in, and the producer hit the button and said, Frank Hoagy's here. Send him in. So Hoagy goes out in the studio and don't say hi to nobody. Just says, hi, Frank. Sits down at the piano, spreads out his music, sings his song. And Frank said, I like it. He said, okay, fold up the music. Said, you got it. And he left, didn't say hi, bye, or that's Hoagy Carmichael.
Paul McCartney. You met him, didn't you?
Met him, played with him in New York a couple times.
And he knew your name.
Yeah, he knew who I was. He said, I've been a big fan of yours.
Wow, what a thrill, huh?
Yeah.
And you played with him a number of times.
Yeah.
And what kind of a guy?
He's great. I hope to get to play with him again. She's working on it.
He seems like such a down-to-earth guy.
He is. He's great. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy.